The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
And now it's time for our ultimate guide. And as ever, our travel guide is Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author. And you're bringing us somewhere a little unusual, I would suggest, today, Fionn. Maybe even particularly for you.
Certainly. I mean, well, oddly enough, it's the most visited city in the Western Hemisphere, for
once.
Yes. It's Orlando. And it's obviously the 95-99% of the people will go simply just to go to the theme parks. You've got the four Disney parks. You've got the four Universal Orlando resort parks. You've got, yeah, so it's a theme park holiday. But just before COVID, I wrote a guidebook for Lonely Planet on Orlando where I did all the theme parks. And then I spent, the guts of 6 weeks wandering around non-theme park Orlando. And Ciara, I loved it.
Did you?
So Orlando is known as the City Beautiful, which, and I've been going to Orlando for many, many years for work and other things. And I always thought it was an ironic nickname. Like, because with all respect to the theme parks, when you're up and down iDrive, there's nothing beautiful about it.
I couldn't even find much of a scent. I've been to Orlando, but I went because I have kids and I brought them to theme parks.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember much of a centre. I remember large motorways connecting sort of destinations.
Yes. And it feels all a bit kind of, you know, here is a bunch of theme parks in a swamp connected by these big motorways cars and all the rest. But Orlando itself, which is a small city, well, really, it's a conglomerate of different cities, the likes of Winter Park and things like that. They grew up as kind of getaway winter destinations for people from the East Coast who were escaping the cold of the Northeast and were going down south. And similar to what retirees do, they move to Florida. You know, it's a classic trope of American life. But what you have is in the downtown Orlando, which in new American cities is always soulless. The exact opposite is true in Orlando. The neighborhoods themselves and the towns like Winter Park and Winter Haven, they're really, really interesting places
to
go.
What era are we talking?
From the 1920s onwards.
Okay.
And the reason why, there's a couple of reasons why. One is that you have so many tens of thousands of people who come from all over America to work in the theme parks. LGBTQ people are overly represented. People of color, people of different backgrounds, people of different nationalities. And what you have, this enormous population of young creatives who want something. And so over the course of the years, since the 60s onwards, where they go to drink, where they go to eat, where they go to celebrate outside of work, is a reflection of their tastes, their interests. And as a result, Orlando, non-theme park Orlando, is this incredibly diverse, liberal place with excellent food. Now, Ciara, you've been to the theme parks. It's like, try and look for like, I mean, the food is all very tasty and all, but healthy? No, not even close.
Enormous portions of grease.
Yeah, of grease.
Greasiness.
Yes, you can get that. It's America, so you can get that anywhere. But alongside the big portions of deep-fried foods, you get these extraordinary expressions of culinary art. Orlando has this remarkable collection of art galleries and museums that seems completely at odds with the experience that 95% of people have when they go to Orlando.
And I think that's true because I've been there. And not only have I been there, I've been there twice. And I saw none of this. The only things I saw outside of theme parks, I think I saw shopping outlets.
Yes, premium outlets.
And then themed restaurants.
Yes.
And by themed, I mean sort of mafioso Al Capone
terrible
things and knights on horses and jousting.
Look, I don't judge any of it. In fact, I in the right frame of mind, I absolutely adore that kind of thing. But
well, it's quite kitsch.
It's very kitsch.
Yeah.
It's cheesy. It's not to be taken seriously. It's just to be enjoyed. It's just fun.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it, by the way.
And
I've
there's
done
nothing.
It.
Okay, let's take Winter Park. Okay, this is the Grand Dam. So this even dates back to the late 19th century. It's a winter retreat for wealthy northerners. And it's home to Rollins College, which is Florida's oldest college. It's got beautiful Park Avenue, which all these boutiques and galleries and beautiful cafes. I mentioned museums. Ciara, the Charles Hosmer Morse Museum of American Art, which I first visited in January of 2020. It has the world's biggest collection of works by one Louis Comfort Tiffany. Yes, he of Tiffany's. Lamps, stained glass windows, this incredibly beautiful chapel. It's so elegant. It's so beautiful. You can do scenic boat tours because Orlando or Central Florida is a land of lakes. There's lots and lots of
lakes. Everywhere.
Yeah. And so, for example, that's why you have places like Windermere, which is named after the Lake District, of course, in the UK. And it's because all these different lakes. So English settlers would have named them after places they knew back home. West of Winter Park is Winter Garden, which is this old citrus town. And it's really stunning, beautiful small community. It's got this incredible historic downtown, which is Plant Street. All these restored brick buildings with full of indie shops, restaurants, bars. They've got this really nice farmer's market. And the thing is that if you've been to Orlando, you're like, what? A what?
How could I have missed it all if it
because,
was there?
Because, Kira,
you have to go looking.
You have to know it. And also as well as if you think about the way people do an Orlando holiday, particularly family, you're bringing the kids. So you might do a week and if you can, 10 days. That's a stretch, okay? So to do all of the Disney parks, to do all of Universal Orlando, to go to Legoland, to do all of the different smaller independent parks that are there, that's 9 days. And then don't you want one day by the pool doing absolutely nothing? So that leaves very little time to explore non-theme park Orlando. The irony is, the most visited city in the Western Hemisphere, the historic part of the city gets almost zero visitors.
Yeah, when I think about it, I've only ever been there for, I think, about 4 days.
There you go.
The longest. So all I saw was...
And the cost,
Harry Potter world,
yes,
or whatever it was.
Also, when you consider that the outlay that you have to put down to have these theme parks, particularly with families, is like you have to really get
value.
You have to make the juice worth the squeeze, and that means really getting value, spending the days in the park.
Yeah, you get up, you get in, you get out.
So, Winter Garden is also the gateway to the West Orange Trail, which is this 22-mile rails to trails route. It's on an old railway line, and it's like you're cycling like Spanish Oaks, dripping in Spanish moss, with beautiful cafes, even independent breweries and things like that. Like, I swear, it's really something. There's a fella from Offaly called Alan Delahunt who owns the Crooked Can Brewing Company that's along the West Orange Trail. Yeah.
Hit up the other places that you definitely should see if you are either there for whatever reason, not going to theme parks, or you want to get away from theme parks.
So I mentioned that Orlando and the air, Greater Orlando, is a land of lakes. So Lake Ivanhoe is one of them. So it's called Ivanhoe Village, which is one of the coolest districts in the whole area. It's got lots of antique stores. I mentioned independent boutiques, again, craft breweries, incredibly laid back. I was there not so long ago and I did an epic paddle adventure. So I went on Lake Ivanhoe, Audubon Park Garden
is
District.
Is it safe with all the gators? Because there are a lot of alligators
in
Florida.
So where there's water, there's gators.
Yeah, that's
the rule. And he goes, yes, there. Like if you do, I wouldn't venture out onto these waterways on my own.
No.
Ever. Do it responsibly. I wouldn't go swimming without like, never, ever, ever. Even in the whole, like Lake Ivanhoe, by all accounts, has very few or has none, or they haven't seen a gator for a long, long time. Maybe because it's very popular with people. And look, despite popular mythology, gators want to be left alone.
Yeah.
They don't want to go near you. They want to just bask in the sunshine and do their own thing. When I was doing the Lonely Planet guide, I stayed in Lake Eola Park, which is really, really beautiful. And it's again, it's just, it's in the middle of downtown, but you feel like you're just lost in nature. And there's this kind of 1 mile path that goes around the lake. There's the Walt Disney Amphitheater is nearby, which has like beautiful concerts and open air performances. I mentioned food, right? It's the biggest surprise, given that in all the years before I started exploring downtown, all I had was the kind of fast food themed restaurant experiences that Orlando has to offer. To find really, really elevated food experiences, I'm going to name three places, okay? Maxine's on Shine. So Maxine's on Shine is kind of, it's like a southern bistro. It feels like a log cabin that you'd find somewhere in like deepest New Orleans or Louisiana. Part retro cocktail bar. This is an institution and it's famous for its weekend brunch. Maxine herself will greet people and come out and chat. It's stunning. It's near Lake Eola. Pig Floyd's Urban Barbacoa. So Mills 50 is one of the neighborhoods. And this is a fusion. There's a big Asian community there. But what they do is they merge, they do like fusion experiences with either Southern food or Latino food, like Mexican food or Guatemalan food. So Pig Floyd's Urban Barbacoa is this. It's like Vietnamese, Korean, take on Southern barbecue. And Kira, it's divine. I mean, oh, really, really good. And then finally, I'm going to name Kabuki Sushi. Okay, so this, the chef is Henry Moso. It's won a James Beard Award since I was there last. I'm going to say this is one of the best sushi restaurants I've ever eaten in my life. I'm not saying it's the best, but it's up there. It's in a strip mall. Kira, you look at it and it's just like this crappy little strip mall that looks like nothing, like so many you see in Orlando.
Yeah.
You're driving by and it's all like single story in a mm-hmm. kind of a U shape.
You know, that's my recollection of Orlando.
That's it. And then you see this one, it's just the sign, Kabuki Sushi, and you're like, okay. And I was like, I'll try that. Why not? I went in. I was like, oh my God, this stuff here, they should give this place a Michelin star. It's that good.
Maybe lastly, when's the best time to go, Finn? Because I know that the weather, like, you're going to get lots and lots of sunshine, but there's lots and lots of storms.
Yeah, so
and
summertime is stormy season. So right up until September, you're in, because Orlando is in the hurricane belt, so yeah, you're going to get big, heavy storms. I mean, you might not, but you're always at risk of them. So I think from October onwards is a glorious time. It's never too cold. It doesn't get that oppressive heat that you can get in the summertime. It's a wonderful time. Also, as well, this is the, I mean, not that you would find crowds in downtown, but the crowds are gone. Like, you don't, outside of Christmas, obviously. But yeah, I would say from October. I spent 6 weeks there from January until the end of February. It was glorious. It wasn't like baking hot, but I was walking around in a t-shirt most yeah. of the time, or a light jacket. It was glorious.
Florida has sort of year-round warm weather, yes, but there is that stormy season. Look, thank you so much. Fionn Davenport there with the ultimate guide to Orlando. That is our lot for the day, though.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.